Podcast Personal Finance Edition. This is Rashmi and I'm joined by my co-host Olivia.
Today we're coming back to our conversation about socially responsible investing with a focus on behavioral finance and the psychology of investing.
Yeah, so behavioral finance and the psychology of investing is really important for everything, but especially social responsible investing, because it's really tied to your personal values. So this is basically the study of emotional psychological factors which affect financial markets.
So what it's looking at is how we respond to changes in the markets and how that influences our ability to invest and our ability to invest smartly.
Yes, let's start off with the confirmation bias. In the behavioral finance perspective, it's basically when you're convinced that stocks are high risk with large losses and only research articles that confirm investing is not correct at the time.
Right, so confirmation bias is when you are looking specifically for information that supports your claim that a certain company or firm is going to fail in the future. And then you make investments based on that bias when you're not getting the full picture of the story and you're not having a sound understanding of the market at that time.
Exactly. And then there's the anchoring bias, which is making decisions based on past performances of an investment choice. So if something rose last year, you'll believe that it should be up again this year.
This is kind of an interesting one because we all know that part of the reason why we invest, especially in, for example, the stock market, is because we expect that 10% or around 10% return per year. But the change in the market as a whole or in the entire industry is not reflective of the change in a specific company. So when we see one company increase in 1 year and we believe it will do the same in the next year, that's a really harmful mindset to have.
Yeah, and the biggest mantra for investing is that you can never predict what will happen. So this anchoring bias is really harmful because you really cannot be making an accurate prediction based off on what happened the prior year.
Right, and connected to that is repetition bias, which is when you're easily coerced into assuming things are more common than they truly are, such as financial crises. For example, after the Silicon Valley bank crisis, a lot of people were convinced that other banks were about to fail and that was influencing their investments. Well, that's not really something that we see happen often, and when it happens once, we shouldn't assume that it's going to be followed by a tide of similar events.
Exactly. And then there's the activity bias, which is use times of stress to make purchases to feel safe, which may in fact be unnecessary and definitely poorly strategized.
This is kind of like when you're craving something and you end up eating way more than you expected just because you want some comfort food. You shouldn't be doing that with investments, because when you start making investments willy-nilly and you invest in random companies that you haven't fully researched, you do not know what's going to happen, and you'll likely wake up the next morning and be like, why did I do that? I regret making those investments. But now maybe it's already gone down, or you feel like you've made that investment and you have to stick with it. You're kind of stuck in a scenario where you shouldn't be in the first place, because you shouldn't be making those unnecessary, poorly strategized decisions.
Exactly. And because it's in times of stress, and you know, stress is such, it's such a high arousal state, you're very emotional, you're making rational strategic decisions, such as investing, which is probably one of the most rational strategic decisions you have to make, is really not a good thing.
And then there's also risk aversion, which is the avoidance of potentially high gains because of safer options that are also available. This might depend on the person and what level of high risk, high reward you're willing to go for in your investments. But there is a point where you're only focusing on safe options and completely avoiding high gains, when there are still medium level risk investments that you can be making that are possible to give you more return in the future.
Yeah, and then there's the disposition effect, which is failing to notice when it's time to part ways with an investment that we've held on for a long time because we think that it's going to succeed soon.
This is kind of the feeling that if something's not sold, it's not lost. So when you invest in a company and you've stuck with it for years and years and years, and it's been increasing for a while, but recently it's been doing poorly, not selling it is harming you. And even though it succeeded in the past, that will not ensure future performance. This goes back to confirmation bias and anchoring bias. If you're convinced that your company that you've been with for so long is going to succeed in the future, you're not able to see that it's not the right decision to keep holding it for the long term.
Yeah, and this effect really has a strong relation to socially responsible investing, because it's obviously an investment that we held on for a really long time, and that's because you have some sort of emotional attachment to it. And having an investment that is something that is socially related to you because of something that you believe in, like religious, environmental, or social, this can really have a hard grip on you from parting ways with that investment.
Right. There's a balance that has to be reached when you're doing socially responsible investing and trying to avoid that disposition effect, because you are emotionally connected to that investment. But if it is truly hurting you greatly financially, there is a point where you are better off parting ways with it, even if it might feel a little dirty at first.
Yes. And then there's overconfidence, which everyone knows what this is. From a financial perspective, it's a strong belief in understanding a certain market causes us to trust more far-stretched ideas than we should be.
Right. Overconfidence is something we can all relate to, and it's just something we need to be aware of when we're investing. And then there's also the idea of a herding or group effect, where investors create speculative bubbles with effects on the market.
Yeah, so for example, GameStop in 2021, the share price up went 10 times in a few months just because of a Reddit forum. And honestly, if we're really thinking about financial crashes, like Great Depression and things, it's because of these speculative bubbles, which have so much effect on the markets, causing it to crash.
Right, group effects are a lot of expectations, where a whole group of people expect something to happen in the future, and perhaps one person withdraws an investment. Suddenly, the whole sector can be affected if people suddenly make irrational decisions because they're just going along with what other people are doing, which should not be what research we're using to support our financial decisions. We should be making our own decisions based on what's most logical and most supported by factual evidence.
For sure. So now that we've talked about the behavioral finance and the psychology of investing, let's go more into detail about the social responsible investing aspect of our episode.
Right, let's go back to social responsible investing, and now that we have an understanding of how we can be affected and making poor decisions in it, let's see how we can make effective ones and how we can get involved in socially responsible investing.
Yeah, so a way to do this is by building a SRI portfolio, which can be done with a financial advisor, human or robo.
So there's a couple companies that can do this for you. For example, Betterment can make one based on impact, where you can choose climate, social, or environmental impact, or you could do social and governance, which is known as ESG.
And then there's Wealthfront, which also offers SRI portfolios. And also the charge is no different from traditional portfolios. It's the same 0.25%.
Right. However, there are other downsides to socially responsible investing portfolios. The main one is that they may underperform broader markets because you will likely be excluding industries that could have a history of strong performance.
Yeah, so for example, the energy sector with fossil fuel, or including them outperforming environmental energy stocks.
Yes, and excluding industries does not guarantee that the portfolio is aligned with values, because companies might not be fully engaged in the practices the investor is looking for. That's the difference between positive and negative screening that we discussed last episode.
Yes, and when you're thinking of doing socially responsible investing, it's important to focus on creating positive social change by making investment decisions based on moral values. So you're less concerned with minimizing financial risks, and you're also doing public good, and that's of greater importance than financial returns.
And having this mindset can make it so much more profitable, even if your financial return is on the back burner. For example, in 2022, the Morningstar U.S. Sustainability Index outperformed non-SRI parent index by over 0.6% and the S&P 500 by 0.7%.
So now that we kind of talked about how you can approach this, we'll give you some resources on social responsible funds that you might want to consider. So there's iShares ESG Aware MSCI USA ETF with $12.8 billion in assets.
There's also the Vanguard ESG US Stock ETF with $6.8 billion in assets.
And then there's the Parnassus Core Equity Fund with $27.4 billion in assets.
There's also the FTSE for Good Index, which tracks companies excelling in the ESG category.
So this one is probably one of my favorite indexes. It's really detailed. So it's basically grading these companies on how socially responsible they are based on the ESG factors. So they're considering environmental, social, and governance factors.
It contains several different individual stock indexes, each tailored for particular geographic regions, which makes it more personalized to you.
Yeah, and so they identify firms with these strong ESG factors, and so they receive a score and an exposure assessment based on the management of each pillar.
So there's three pillars that are considered, and they're broken down into themes. Companies receive a score and exposure assessment based on their management of each theme.
So the environmental themes include biodiversity, climate change, pollution and resources, supply chain, and water security.
The social theme includes labor standards, customer responsibility, health and safety, human rights and community, and the supply chain.
And then governance themes include anti-corruption, corporate governance, risk management, and tax transparency.
Yeah, so what I love about this index is that it's so detailed in how it chooses which companies are a part of it. So when you're looking to make socially responsible investments, you can see exactly why certain companies or firms are included in the index and why other ones might be excluded from it.
Yeah, and it really helps you align your values with the firms because of how detailed it is. So if you're something that's more into the social side, specifically human rights, then you can really look into firms that have this specific grade because this index really provides that for you.
Right. So there's a lot of different resources available, but it's also possible to start tailoring your own investments as a whole based on socially responsible investing factors and have your whole portfolio be involved in that and manage it by yourself.
Yeah, but that's all for episode today. This is Rashford and Olivia.
Cashing off.